And welcome aboard here, folks. Fox on the road. And, of course, it is college football playoff time. It is an exciting time for all college football fans as we're going to see, for the first time, the true workings of the college football playoff with 12 teams. Of course, we still have the bowl games, and we also have Rutgers playing in a bowl game. We'll get to Rutgers-Kansas State's game in Arizona a little bit later, but a lot of focus on the Big 12, if you will, the Big 12 teams in this tournament. Joining us today to talk about that from VSiN is Tim Murray. You can follow him at @1TimMurray on X. Tim, how you doing?
I'm great. No, I'm fired up. I've been a proponent for the expanded playoff since the day it was talked about, and I am so excited for this thing to get rolling on Friday night.
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, I remember for years I would have arguments with people back when the BCS was around. I said, you know, you could sit there in October, basically know who the two teams are going to be in the BCS National Championship game. This is just phenomenal. I've been waiting for something like this for a very, very long time.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, I know people thought that it would water down the regular season. I could not disagree more. And I think it proved it out. You know, we had big time games in September. We had big time games in October. We had games on championship weekend that otherwise we would have been watching just as college football fans. But Arizona State, Iowa State proved to be a play-in game. You know, Boise State, UNLV was a play-in game. So, you know, you look at Georgia, Texas, and Oregon, Penn State, sure, the loser of those two games both ultimately got in the playoff, but they have now the loser has to play on the first weekend. Texas was all season long looking to be in a spot to get a bye. They lose to Georgia, and they've got to play opening weekend. So, look, I think it's a great thing for the sport. This is normally a very quiet time with a couple bowl games here and there. Now we've got four enormous games on campus sites, and then a week and a half later, we will have big-time bowl games with massive implications for a national championship. So I think it's phenomenal for the sport. And, you know, with everything, there's nothing that's perfect. Obviously, the portal schedule is not ideal right now, but they'll try to figure that out. But, you know, I think the positives certainly outweigh the negatives, and I think we're going to have some really compelling games this weekend.
Absolutely. Before we get into those games, keep in mind, folks, with VSiN, you can take part in the Road to Jan Sanity. The Road to Jan Sanity contest has a $5,000 grand prize. Pick the playoff games against the spread, and some of these spreads are pretty wild as far from what I could see. Just some of your thoughts about the Jan Sanity contest.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, if you got a free chance to win $5,000, why not, right? Yeah. So, head over to VSiN.com. Unfortunately, I can't go head-to-head with you guys, but an opportunity to win $5,000 and, you know, pick some games. So, no, it's a cool contest we've got going over. I know the deadline is coming up soon, I think on Thursday the 19th, so make sure you sign up. Once again, completely free and an opportunity to win $5,000 betting through the college football playoff.
Absolutely. All right, so let's go right into this. I'm going to start off looking at your predictions through the first round, and you come out of it with a Final Four, going into a Final Four of Texas, Oregon, Penn State, and Notre Dame. Now, of course, Notre Dame plays Indiana. SMU will play Penn State. Clemson takes on Texas, and Tennessee takes on Ohio State. I want to start with that Clemson-Texas game in the opening first round because that has the wildest spread of 11 and a half last I checked. That seems like a pretty large number for that kind of matchup with Clemson as an underdog.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I haven't gotten to the window yet, but I think I'm going to be looking at the dog here in Clemson. Obviously, I think many people recall what happened week one, Clemson playing Georgia in the Georgia Dome or Mercedes-Benz Stadium, now if I want to be correct about it. And they got blown out. But I think Clemson, when you look at the talent that's on that roster, certainly a team that I think is capable of being competitive against Texas. And, you know, Texas, you look at, you know, Notre Dame, Indiana, Penn State has that win over Illinois, but a lot of these teams got knocked for the lack of strength of schedule this year. Well, Texas has no wins over a current ranked team. You know, they played two games against Georgia. They lost both of those. Now, I think Texas is a very talented team, obviously, and I think defensively they are, big up front, but I look at Clemson, and I think they have the potential to keep that competitive. I am a believer in Cade Klubnik, and I think, you know, he's a bit underrated for what he was able to do this year, throwing for 33 touchdowns, rushing for another seven. He protects the ball, doesn't turn the ball over all that much, five turnovers or five picks, I should say, on the year. So I think Cade Klubnik and Clemson certainly have an opportunity to, I don't know if they can win outright, but I think it's going to be a pretty competitive game on Saturday afternoon in Austin.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think Clemson's going to keep it close. And I don't know if they're going to be able to win the game. Obviously, Texas has a lot of talent all over the field, but I do agree with you. I think it's going to be a close one. Then we take a look at these other games. And the other three games, you mentioned it, of having games in teams' own stadiums. And you talk about atmosphere. I can't think of three better places, maybe except for maybe Michigan being one of them. Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, all getting chances to host games at home, be bad weather, maybe get some snow, wind, rain. It's going to be that you can't ask for better for postseason football.
Yeah, this is what we were kind of hoping for, you know, to have some of these Midwest sites, Mid-Atlantic sites hosting playoff games. And as you hit on, Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, all will be chilly. Chance of snow, I believe, Friday night in South Bend. I'm sure Notre Dame fans were hoping that maybe a team from the South would be coming to South Bend as opposed to a team from in the state. But, you know, that's the unique aspect of what we've got here in the playoff, where you look at Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, and the weather will certainly play a factor. I believe the early forecasts have that Notre Dame could have a little bit of snow. I don't think it's going to be anything that is going to be like a blizzard. I think the last check of it was, you know, maybe a dusting, less than an inch of accumulation. But, you know, the aesthetics of us sitting there by our Christmas trees and watching this Notre Dame Indiana game with some snow falling down. But yeah, I'm so intrigued by all of these matchups. But Notre Dame Indiana, certainly when you think about the year that Indiana had coming out of nowhere, led by their, you know, first-year head coach, Kirk Cignetti, who certainly is a man who is ultra-confident in himself as well as his team. And you go to Notre Dame, and a team that had a inexplicable loss in week two, losing to Northern Illinois, and since then has won 10 straight games. And They seem to be rounding into form, do the Irish here. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at the point spread, this thing opened up, you know, north of a touchdown. Now most places have it around seven, total of 51. And you wonder, has it gone a little too low? Both of these teams, from a strength of schedule standpoint, are, you know, north of 50. But, you know, I think Notre Dame is going to be able to run the ball pretty successfully with their three-headed monster in their backfield, Jeremiah Love, Jadarian Price, and then their quarterback, Riley Leonard. So Indiana, coming into this game, one of the better run defenses in the country, but I do have some concerns about what they're able to do from an offensive standpoint. Curtis Rourke, who is a veteran quarterback, numbers are phenomenal this year, one of the best, you know, passer efficiencies in the country, but not very mobile. And I think Notre Dame is going to try to scheme it up and throw some different blitz schemes at him to maybe make him be a bit uncomfortable. So yeah, Notre Dame, Indiana, certainly a game that I think points will be at a premium in this spot, no doubt.
Absolutely. I think SMU has gotten a lot of disrespect. Obviously, you know, a lot of people look at them saying, you know, going into Penn State, you know, having coming off of that loss to Clemson, they didn't look too good in that game. A lot of people are riding the Penn State bandwagon, you know, especially since that loss to Ohio State for Penn State. They played very good football. What do you make of this matchup between these two, Penn State and SMU?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you about SMU. I mean, you know, strength of schedule coming in, 57th in the country. You know, their biggest test in the non-conference was against BYU. They lost that game early on in the year. But you give them a bit of a caveat because they were starting Preston Stone and not Kevin Jennings. When they turned to Kevin Jennings, they were a very different offense this entire year. When you look at some of, you know, the efficiency numbers for this SMU team, you know, 22nd in the country in offensive efficiency, believe it or not, actually a better defensive team. But I really like their quarterback in Kevin Jennings. And, you know, for Penn State, this is a team, once again, you know, here we are in the playoff, and you keep asking the same question about a lot of these teams, you know, who have they beat? You know, when you look at Penn State, their best win to date was against Illinois, which is a good win, a top 25 team, but they lost to Ohio State, they lost to Oregon. So you certainly have some questions about, you know, what this Penn State team can be. But Drew Aller, you know, the quarterback for Penn State, you look at his performance that he had against Oregon in that Big Ten championship game, and I thought he was, you know, a little bit erratic, but all in all, Drew Aller, I look at, you know, some of his numbers, and I've been relatively impressed by his season. Did not play very well against Ohio State. He does have the capability of using his legs, as we saw in the Big Ten championship game. So, yeah, this is a game where, I could see myself getting on the dog. I know a lot of people continue to mention, you know, Dallas and the weather down there for SMU and their preparation heading into the cold. I don't know how massive of a factor that is. Sometimes I think we overrate some of those things just a little bit. But, yeah, I am so intrigued to see Kevin Jennings in this role. And, you know, give SMU a lot of credit, right? They were playing very poorly in the first half of the ACC championship game. Looked like they were going to be potentially blown out there. And they battle all the way back. They tie the game up. And then Clemson is able to, you know, march enough down the field to kick that game winner 56 yards, I believe it was, for the field goal for Clemson. But yeah, this is a game that certainly in that noon Eastern window on Saturday, maybe getting a little bit overlooked, but I think SMU's got the capabilities of keeping this thing competitive.
Absolutely. The last of the first round anyway, would be Tennessee and Ohio State. I think it's very intriguing. You got a Tennessee team that, while they did score a lot of points this year, struggled against SEC competition, higher SEC competition, I should say. But they bring a strong running game with Samson, who had over, you know, close to 1,500 yards rushing and 22 touchdowns. I guess best case scenario for Tennessee would be they have to find a way to establish a run and just pound the rock against Ohio State. And how big of a game is this for Ryan Day, the head coach in Ohio State, in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's massive, and I know the administration came out and backed Ryan Day, and when you look at the record, it's very, very good from the day he stepped into the role of full-time head coach. But, you know, Ohio State fans are going to remind you of four straight losses to Michigan, and obviously the last time we saw this Ohio State team, they were almost a three-touchdown favorite, losing to their hated rival up north. So this is for me, when I look at the four games in the opening weekend, I should say, you know, Notre Dame, Penn State, and Texas, their fan bases are happy with where they are. Obviously, they're going to want the wins, but Ohio State's fan base is not happy. And losing to Michigan was just inexcusable in their minds, and I understand that. That all being said, I think we're disrespecting Ohio State just a little bit when you look at the talent that is on that roster. And you know, you've got extra time to prepare. Both of these teams do, obviously. Neither played in their respective conference championship game. But when I look at Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator for Ohio State, and I look at this Ohio State defense, I trust them. I don't have a ton of trust for Will Howard. He makes me a bit nervous of backing him in that favorite role here for Ohio State. But, you know, you look at, you know, VSiN.com, we've got our betting splits up, which is just giving you kind of the information of where people are betting these games, at least early on. Much more action will come in as we get closer to the game. Mm-hmm. But you look at this, 75% of bets on Tennessee. I mean, it's pretty wild to think that many folks are betting the underdog here in this role. So there's an old saying out there, a dog with fleas, and it does feel like this is a bit of a popular dog in Tennessee. So I bet this game, but not from a side standpoint. I bet the under. I think Ohio State's defense, I can trust them. I do think Tennessee's front, their defensive line, is maybe the best that Ohio State has seen all year, or if you want to say second to Michigan, that's fair. But I think Ohio State, with their left tackle and starting center being lost for the season, and then, you know, their, let's be honest, a little bit of stubbornness to just always run the football or want to establish that run game, I do think this is more of a grinded out type of game. I think Ohio State's defense has success against Tennessee. So I played under 47 here in this game. And I think it is kind of a, you know, an old slugfest, so to speak, between these two teams.
Absolutely. Looking forward to the rest of this tournament. I guess this is a two-part question. One, because understandably, we understand why Oregon and Georgia 1 and 2, no question about those two teams. What are your thoughts about Boise and Arizona State? Some people have been kind of, you know, going back and forth about those teams, especially State, or Arizona, I should say. And how do you see this thing playing out as far as the betting is concerned with regards to the top four? A lot of people putting a lot of bets on Georgia and Oregon. What do you see right now?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of questions. I mean, outside of Oregon, who feels like the most stable team in the field, going undefeated, having the best quarterback amongst the 12 teams in Dylan Gabriel. After that, there's a lot of questions. When you look at Georgia, who's going to be their starting quarterback? It certainly seems like Gunnar Stockton is going to be the guy moving forward here for Georgia team, excuse me. So, you know, I look at that as a spot where you don't really know what Georgia is going to be. You look at some of the look ahead lines and, you know, Georgia is a slight underdog in a potential matchup against Notre Dame, which is pretty interesting to look at that point spread. And then you look at Boise State, Ashton Gentry, their running back, is an absolute superstar, runner up in the Heisman Trophy to Travis Hunter. But when I look at the matchup moving forward, them against Penn State or them against SMU, I think they'll be competitive. You know, I think the point spreads that are out there right now, Boise State 11.5 point dog to Penn State and 6.5 point dog to SMU, I think that's a bit inflated. Mm-hmm. I think this Boise State team is maybe not getting enough love. I'm not saying that they're going to win in the quarterfinals, but, you know, this is a team that I know it gets brought up a lot. Is you know, they went toe to toe with Oregon in week two and lost by a field goal in a game that was pretty crazy when you look back at it, with, you know, a kickoff return, I believe, for Oregon and a punt return. So there was a lot of shenanigans in that one. But do you trust Boise State's quarterback Matic Matson, who essentially has been tasked with, hey, just kind of don't mess things up, let Ashton Gentry do what he's capable of doing, and, you know, let's rely on our defense. And then lastly, Arizona State, you know, in our VSiN college playoff betting guide, I actually bet Texas in the look ahead line against Arizona State, and we've seen a little bit of movement in that market, 11.5 out to 12.5. I think it's a really tricky matchup for the Sun Devils against Texas, if that were to be the matchup. Just keep in mind, if you bet those look-ahead numbers, if Clemson were to upset Texas, you would actually have your bet voided because the matchup would not come to fruition. But I think for Arizona State, Cam Scatabo, who ended up, I believe, fifth in the Heisman Trophy voting, he's an absolute star at running back. But you know, the fact that they are without their top receiver is going to be a concern. Now, they were able to overcome that and beat Iowa State with relative ease in the Big 12 championship game. But I think that could be a spot where, if Jordan Tyson, who obviously will not play in that game, is going to be sidelined, that's certainly a big concern there for Arizona State. But yeah, to me, I don't get all that bent out of shape with Arizona State and Boise State getting the bye. Is that the way I think it should be? No, not necessarily. That being said, those are the rules that everyone agreed to, and they didn't anticipate, you know, kind of craziness, especially in the ACC. But, you know, those are the rules, and that's what we have to live by this year.
Absolutely. Before we get to his pick, again, we're speaking with Tim Murray of VSiN. Tim, before we get to your pick, very quickly on Rutgers, Kansas State in the Rate Bowl. To me, this is a delicious game to put some shekels on, because you got a 7-point spread between two teams that I think are a little bit closer than meets the eye. And, of course, you have these two huge running backs in the game, Kyle Monongo at Rutgers and DJ Giddens over in Kansas State. What are some of your thoughts about that game, very quickly?
Yeah, I mean, you always got to keep an eye out on potential opt-outs. So is DJ Giddens going to play? Is Monongo going to play? I don't believe it. There's been any ruling one way or the other yet. But, you know, that's always the worry when you look at some of these games in the bowl season that are not with, you know, teams that are in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But Look, for Rutgers, I think Rutgers fans that are listening to this program right now would agree that this was a bit of an underwhelming season for Rutgers, knowing what the schedule looked like and what was coming back. But, you know, to wrap up the season with that impressive win over Michigan State, to win three of their last four, including a nice win over Minnesota, I think this is a good spot for them to try to, you know, be competitive here against Kansas State. And, you know, from a motivational standpoint, Kansas State's a team that I was very underwhelmed by this Kansas State team. They had everything out in front of them late in the season, and they lose to Houston as a, you know, massive favorite. They lose to Arizona State, and then they wrap up the season with that loss to Iowa State as well. So it was a pretty disappointing year, I would say, for this Kansas State program. So, yeah, if you're looking to back a dog, I certainly would look at Rutgers, and I wouldn't be laying the number here with Kansas State. So, yeah, I think this is an intriguing spot for Rutgers, you know, the day after Christmas to take on a, you know, a perceived, you know, this was a Kansas State team that was expected to win the Big 12 earlier this year, and they ended up with a 5-4 record. So there certainly might be some disappointment for Kansas State. And I think for Rutgers, a good opportunity against a Big 12 team to end the season on a high note.
Absolutely. All right, so let's go right out of here, Tim. This is it. So how do you see this breaking out down as far as this college football playoff? Go right at it. Final Four, championship, and who wins?
Yeah, so in my VSiN guide, I had Notre Dame going to the Final Four. You know, it's kind of become a very popular pick, which makes me very nervous as a Notre Dame fan that this is going to play out that way. So, look, at the end of the day, I want to pick Oregon. I just think they have a really tricky road where you get the bye, and then you're playing in the Rose Bowl against Ohio State. And then the following week, if you're able to win that game, you're playing Texas down in Jerry's World. So I'll go a little against the grain here, even though this is a Texas team, to be honest, that I have not been that big of a believer in. I feel like maybe with the talent that's on that roster, with their postseason history, the fact that they went to the playoff a year ago, I'll give the slight nod to Texas to win the title here. I think their road with Clemson at home, which I think will be trickier, as we talked about, and then, you know, playing Arizona State, which I think will be a brutal matchup for Arizona State, getting Oregon in Jerry's World where they have, you know, maybe a little bit of a more of a friendly atmosphere. And then they're in the championship game. So I'll say Texas gets their revenge in a third showdown with Georgia, and the Longhorns win the championship this year.
That would be amazing. I mean, that program is really starting to take off as it is anyway, not just with the play of the quarterback, but also you got Archer Manning just kind of sitting back there, possibly in line for next year as a starter. So that would be huge for the program. We haven't seen that, obviously, since that great Rose Bowl game between USC and Texas, Vince Young against Matt Leinart. That would be amazing for Texas.
Yeah, no doubt. So we'll see. I mean, I'm trying to be a little bit different because I do think the Oregon road is really challenging, especially if they have that rematch against Ohio State. If they were to win that, then it's Texas. So Oregon is the rightful number one team in the country. As I mentioned, they've got the best quarterback in the college football playoff in Dylan Gabriel, but I think that road could end up being a little too tricky for them. And then, you know, on the other side of the bracket, you look at Georgia with Gunnar Stockton being inserted for Carson Beck. What will that offense look like on New Year's Day against most likely Notre Dame? I guess it could be Indiana. So I think Georgia against Penn State more than likely in the semifinals. I think Georgia would be a matchup that I would look at, you know, backing Georgia in that particular spot. Notre Dame, Penn State would be very fascinating. Classic, you know, rivalry there. But yeah, I can't wait for it. I think we could see a lot of curveballs thrown to us in this college football playoff.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to watch these games. It's like I said at the top, this is exactly what college football needed. And they're going to have huge ratings all weekend for the first round, and every week, all 3 weeks are going to be incredible to watch.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
All right, Tim, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for coming aboard.
Absolutely, appreciate it.
All right. All right, that was Tim Murray of VSiN, who was kind enough to join us to talk about the college football playoff. Now let's very quickly go over to our player interview with Rutgers cornerback Robert Longerbeam as they're getting ready to take on Kansas State in the Rate Bowl.
All right, Robert, first of all, it is bowl week. Just talk about this opportunity for you and your guys. What does it mean for you?
It means everything. Get to a bowl game, you know, it's part of a journey of building, and we're just building in the right direction.
When you guys were in the midst of that four-game losing streak, Coach kind of reiterated to the media about trying to, you know, stay focused, keep chopping, and turn the season around. What was really the turning point? Was it something in practice, maybe meetings, maybe even something during a game that kind of got the season back on track?
Yeah, so we had Navy SEAL come and talk to us about, like, doing it for each other. And, like, we preach family. So, like, it was just a reminder of, like, a fresh reminder. Because, you know, when you're in the culture, you hear it a lot. So it was a fresh reminder, like, do it for each other. And I feel like everybody embraced that. And then that's when we started winning games again. We started playing for each other. It was more swarming to the ball. It was more game tackling. So I think the doing it for each other and reiterating that and hearing it from a Navy SEAL who does it at the highest level when his life is on the line, like, it showed us that that's all we have to do, and it helped us win games.
Absolutely. That's awesome, man. The experience from last year when you guys were in Yankee Stadium, how does that help prepare you for this kind of game now?
Yeah, you get to play somebody out of conference. So, like, getting that experience playing another team, a different style of offense, like, those are all good games. And, like, you take value in that because Big Ten has a different style of football than other conferences. So once you get to see another conference feel the way they play, like, it just helps you build in football in general. So you see everything. So they're a good team, and it's going to be a fun game.
Coach talked about their speed. They have a lot of speed, especially at running back. What is going to be key for you guys going up against that offense to slow them down?
Everybody get to the ball. Everybody has to get to the ball. Levin has to the ball, game tackling, and just playing for each other.
Oh, at the end of the Michigan State game, everyone, of course, saw the video online. Coach talking about how this was full circle for a lot of the seniors. And I see a smile on your face because you're thinking about it now. You know, starting in COVID and then starts in Michigan State and now ends 4 years later in Michigan State in the regular season. What did that speech mean for you? And, you know, what did that moment mean for you?
It was like a reflection on my journey here and on my guys' journey, like all the seniors who came in together. It was just crazy, like coming in during COVID, not playing, then the season starting late, and then we went to Michigan State, and I was just watching because I was a young freshman, not really knowing what's going on. And I think we had like 6 turnovers, takeaways that game. So, like, I was like, yeah, our defense is balling. So it was like, then coming back, I'm like, we have to play the same way we played when we first came. So it was just a good full circle moment and a good win. But it was a reflection, kind of sad because, like, it's coming to an end. But I'm happy that what we did here as a senior class.
What does Coach Chiano mean for you when you look back at what your time here at Rutgers?
He's the greatest. Like, it's no other person I wanted to play for. Like, me and GS have a special relationship, and I can call on him for anything I need. And I know I got him in my corner for life. So he's a coach that I truly love and I truly appreciate for everything he's done for me.
Coach Harris Sibiak, obviously taking the job at UMass. Just your thoughts about him and his work here.
I'm extremely happy for him. Like, he was a great coach while he was here, great DC, great person to follow. So I just appreciate him and everything he did for our defense to help us take the next step, too. And I hope he does well on his next journey.
What's next for you? NFL, what are you looking at today?
Win this bowl game and then go play in the league. Yes, sir.
All right, man. Good luck to you.
Appreciate you.
All right, thank you.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here on Fox on the Road. We'll talk to you next time. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Take care.